I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, and I'd like you to turn your Bible back to the book of Joshua, chapter 13. And this morning our subject is pressing towards the mark, and I have taken this title from Philippians 3:14. Which is an exhortation which the Apostle Paul gave to the Philippians Christian to encourage them to persevere in their faith. And Joshua chapter 13 has something of this theme, which I thought we can meditate upon and derive spiritual lessons for our learning. Let's commence with a brief overview of chapter 13. It begins in verse 1 with a short but comforting word from the Lord to Joshua personally. The first 6 verses contain a list of those lands which had not yet been possessed by the Israelites. Then it follows with an assurance from the Lord in the middle of verse 6 that he would also drive out from before his people the enemies of those parcels of land. Then in the next 6 verses as we go on, namely from verses 7 to 12, the Lord gives order concerning the apportioning of the land of Canaan to the Israelites, and then with a description of the places and their boundaries. Then we have a reference made to the portion of land which Moses allotted to the 2.5 tribes on the eastward side of Jordan in verses 16 to 21. In verse 22, Israel slaying of the false prophet Balaam is mentioned in passing. And then twice we are also told that Moses gave no inheritance to the tribe of Levi in verse 14 and 33. So as you can see from the various section of this passage, there is no centralized or unified theme in Joshua 13. And perhaps one of the ways to describe this chapter is the Israelites receiving an enjoyment of their spiritual inheritance. That doesn't mean we have no spiritual lessons from this passage. And so for our meditation, I suggest that we can learn several other spiritual lessons from this chapter. And the first is this. Look at verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. My first heading is the age, or the old, shall still be fruitful. The age or the old shall still be fruitful. Joshua had reached his sunset years, you may say. But despite his increasing bodily infirmity or weakness, the Lord did not desert him or left him alone in his old age, but honored him with a very special visit to encourage him. And this note is for the encouragement and comfort, especially for those among us who are elderly in your senior years. Notice that the Lord did not say, but there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. So these words are not, in verse 1, are not spoken out to rebuild Joshua, but rather to encourage him, to stir him up, you can say, that in his old age, in his senior years, he shall still be fruitful for the Lord and in the strength of the Lord. I took this first heading actually from Psalm 92. Please turn to Psalm 92, verses 12 to 15. Psalm 92, verses 12 to 15. The psalmist has this to say to our seniors. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. And so to the older ones in our midst, may you be comforted to know that the Lord can still use you mightily, effectively, in his service in your senior years. To the younger ones, the healthier ones, I say to you, do not make light of the age or the older one, or despise them, or look down upon them because they are old and weak. Honor them, encourage them, pray for them, that in their remaining sojourning here amongst us, they will continue to live for Christ and for Christ's glory. The Lord's promise to our senior is this: even to your old age, I am He, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and deliver you. This is taken from Isaiah 46, verse 4. Isaiah 46, verse 4, I repeat, and even to your old age, I am He. And even to whole hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and deliver you. This verse is the pledge He made to you. And day by day, you can rest in this blessed assurance. It is our blessing to know that our Lord Jesus is no Egyptian taskmaster who burdens us grievously. No. His assurance to us, the believers, is this: take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:29-30. We see here Joshua's life and his engagement in warfare typify that of a believer. Those of us who are in Christ, and I have said this before, we are called to spiritual battle when we come into the kingdom of God. The book of Joshua is the foreshadowing of the Christian's inheritance. Salvation here in this book is referred to as the Christian inheritance, and namely the promised land, which is of grace. It is a gift from God, and so it is of grace and through the finished work of Christ on the cross. However, as believers, we who are heirs of this promise must by faith not sit around an idol, but must by faith, day by day, in the power of the Holy Spirit, strive to enter in at the straight gate, as Luke tells us in Luke 13:24. And we are to labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. The writer of Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews 4:11. And so, let us take note of this, that though the Lord took notice of Joshua's weak and feeble body, yet he did not for that reason encourage him to slack and to cruise along. On the contrary, the Lord here assigned him a new, though much lighter task. It is not God's will, brethren, that his people should spend their old age or their senior years in idleness, sitting around and doing nothing and daydream. He does not preserve them through all the dangers of their youth and the trials of their old age, that they should be mere cucumbers of the ground. This is not God's will for us. God may well permit some of us to be exceedingly weak, feeble, and even perhaps bedridden for some, and then entirely dependent upon others. Yet even in that stage of your life, those of us who are in Christ, you who are in your senior years, though you may be feeling weak and tired and weary, yet at that stage, you can in prayer to God, to plead to Him to make good the promise which I've just read to you in Psalm 92 verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. So take heart, those of us who are in your senior years, with hoary hairs, you may be weak, sickly in the body, memory may be failing, you may not enjoy much of all the food that you take because your taste bud is going also. However, the spirit in you, the inner man, can still commune to God in prayer. They can even in their sunset years manifest and beautify the grace and the power of God in your life in your sunset years. The decay of our physical body is no reason why grace should languish. Even when we are thoroughly helpless and dying, the fruits of patience, the fruits of love, meekness, gentleness, gratitude may be manifested as those around, as the younger one around us look at you in your senior years, as they see this virtue in your life of your patience all these years, of your meekness, of your Christ-likeness being manifested, they may be encouraged to continue on in their walk with God. In your senior years, we may in dignity carry ourselves as testimonies of God's goodness and the memorials of His faithfulness, and thereby show forth His praises. Is that how you are living to those older ones amongst us? But also a word of caution to the younger ones. You don't start when you get old. You start now to live such a life for Christ. A life with zeal, with godly fervor. And this can only come as we seek the Lord in prayer. As we ask the Lord to work this in our hearts, in our lives, to stir us up, to strengthen us, to encourage us, especially in times of difficulty. Take heart. Those who are running your last lap in the twilight years of your life, though you may no longer possible serve your Lord with the strenuous efforts of yesteryears, yet the ministry of prayer is available to you. And I may add the ministry of even writing a short little note. And of course this day, with smart technology, a simple text. Of course, perhaps you need the bigger screen for those who are older. But yet you can use that, make good use of this modern technology. Your hand may be weak and shaking and you may not write. Perhaps you can still type or punch in a few words of encouragement to those who are discouraged, for those who are downcast. That may be your ministry for our seniors. And you know, and who knows, you may accomplish more other spiritual activity. Let us not forget what the Apostle Paul says also in Colossians 3:24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. So seniors and elderly, may this personal word from the Lord to Joshua be of comfort and encouragement to you, and that it will stir you up to continue to be fruitful in the service of the Lord in whatever means He enable you for His glory. The second lesson I'd like to bring up from this passage is the need for humility. The need for humility. While Joshua had much ground to be thankful for the many great success with which the Lord had greatly honored his efforts, yet Joshua had no reason to be boastful or proud, because it was the Lord who fought for Israel. In spite of Joshua's old age and inability, you see here the steadfastness of God's redemptive purpose will not stop, will not cease, and cannot be stopped. Joshua and the children of Israel have to learn that God will raise up another man or use other instruments to accomplish what he purposed. Though there is much land to be possessed, and it shall be possessed, even if Joshua passed away from the sin of conflict, what did the Lord say to Joshua? Them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. The Lord says in verse 6 of Joshua 13. God raised certain people to take their particular role in God's work. Some more prominent, some less. But God is independent. Unlike us, unlike all men who pass away from the sin of battle, their demise will in no way slow down or hinder the onward march of the great unseen captain of the host to final victory. Nothing will stop the advancement of God's kingdom, which He purposed. Though we may be weak and pass away, God will in His time raise up His banner, raise up one for His purpose to continue on the work. All true leaders in their spiritual war points us by their life, by their death, to who? To the Lord, whose presence is never withdrawn. God is not absent. When we do feel that the Lord is far away from us, guess who moves? Not God, but we. We forsake Him. We turn away from Him, but not God. God's searching eyes will never become dim. His power will never fail. Looking at the heroes of faith in the past and considering their life, let us not forget that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore, you can rest in Him and be assured of His presence with you in whatever circumstance you face in your life, in weakness, in joy, in plenty, in harvest, in need. He will be with you. Joshua had faithfully done his part, and God had mightily fulfilled His divine purpose through him. Whatever spiritual success, whatever our achievement we may have attained, let us humbly acknowledge that it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. No matter what age we may be, how much we have grown in grace, or how far we have progressed in spiritual matters, let us humbly acknowledge there remaineth yet very much land to be possess. In short, there is still room for improvement. There is still room for growth. Spiritually speaking, this means that we are not as wholly conformed to the image of Christ as we should. And that is why the Apostle Paul, near the close of his life, says this: "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." O brethren, young and old, let us learn from the Apostle Paul, let us learn from the Lord Jesus, that we press on and run the race and fight the good fight of faith to the very end. This exaltation should continuously be the outlook for us, the believers, regardless of age and health. But notice here in verse 6, the Lord gave Joshua an assurance: "Them will I drive out." Not in Joshua's lifetime, but the Lord added, "From before the children of Israel, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel." The next generation, the children of Israel, will see it fulfilled. Joshua did not live to see it. Let every believer who serves in the various ministry of the church understand that it is God who gives us the privilege and the honor to be partners with Him in His holy service, in the work of the Lord, in the work of the gospel. God does not need us. Nothing will fail even if we are not around, or when we fail, He will never fail. And He does not need us. He is able to continue to advance His kingdom for His own purpose. So it is a privilege and an honor for us as believers to be partners with the Lord Jesus in the gospel book. Looking at verse 6 again, we see an injunction follows the assurance. And the injunction in this, the Lord gave to Joshua: "Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance." And this injunction provides us with a third lesson, and which is this, my third heading: the perseverance of God's redemptive purpose. The perseverance of God's redemptive purpose. In spite of whatever happens to Joshua, or whatever will become of God's instrument, of those leaders who are serving the Lord, whatever will become of them, nothing can prevent God from accomplishing His divine purpose for His glory. God has been using the same way as He has done in the past. Look at Moses. Moses, under the guidance of God, had begun the task of occupying the land of Canaan, namely the East Jordan. And this was a small beginning. Joshua comes next. Joshua had been much used by the Lord to do what? To carry forward the remaining project in a very great way. And yet it was far from being completed, isn't it? Others God would raise later to accomplish and to finish the work. As it has also been the same in the New Testament, we see from Paul's testimony, he testified. He says this: "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, But God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. 1 Corinthians 3:6-8. So likewise, others, let us remember, we are not indispensable. Others God will raise up will be divinely appointed and equipped to advance God's eternal kingdom. And we see the same in the history of the church, isn't it? You have Calvin, you have Luther, they were both mightily employed in delivering God's people from the deadly shackles of Rome. Yet when the last of the reformers was called home, how much more work remained to be done, isn't it? It is the same now. At the close of the most active and self-sacrificing life in the service of Christ, each succeeding pastors or preachers, each and each member of the body of Christ, we leave this sin with very much of the world still unreached with the gospel. There are many more lands or nations or people that need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and need to hear it again. But we are not to be discouraged by this fact. And forget that in any service we render to our Lord Jesus, it is a spiritual work. It is the Lord's work. And he who is the head of the church has promised, them will I drive out. Jesus, in answer to Simon Peter, declares what? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. God will himself carry out all his purpose, not by human strength or by power, political power or whatever power, but by his spirit. Zechariah 4:6. However, for us, we must not focus on the assurance God gives to Joshua and overlook the injunction. We must not focus on God's assurance and overlook the injunction, which means or which implies that the Christians have a responsibility. We have a part to play. Matthew Henry's comment on verse 6 is useful. He explains it in this way. I quote, "This promise that he, God, would drive them out from before the children of Israel plainly suppose it as the condition of the promise that the children of Israel themselves must attempt and endeavors their extermination of the enemies, must go up against them, else they could not be said to be driven out before them. If afterwards, through sloth or covetous or affection to these idolaters, they set still and let them alone, they must blame themselves and not God if they be not driven out." Unquote. God's sovereignty does not negate human responsibility. Observe that the command to Joshua to divide the land to the 9 tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh was given even before they have secured their inheritance. Did you notice that? What the Lord told Joshua: there are many more lands that need to be taken, but that is in the future. But yet God asked him what? Divide those land. Take it as it is done. It is a very given. Therefore Joshua is to act in faith and in full confidence that God will accomplish that. Though he should be called to leave the field of battle and enter into his rest, others would be raised to carry on the conflict until the divine purpose was realized. So likewise, we as believers, we are called upon to trust in the Lord and lean not unto our own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. Just as Noah did, just as Abraham did. Abraham did not live to see the promised land. God promised him. He see it by faith. And so as Paul declares, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." The apostle and his fellow workers lived and labored by faith, inspired with courage and strength from having their hearts occupied with things invisible. They took God at His word and believed it. They took God at His word and believed it. To walk by faith, friends, is to conduct ourselves in the firm belief of those things we do not see, resting on the sure word of God, and then being practically influenced by the Holy Spirit to carry it out in obedience. That's the life of faith for a believer. Is this how you live your life, brethren, friends, as believers? Looking forward, pressing toward the mark, though you may not see what is before you. Do you by faith take God at His word and obey, resting on the sure word of God and empowered or influenced by the Holy Spirit to obey? And it is to live a life of faith is to live in a steady expectation of the realities and the glories of heaven. Do you have this vision? Do you have this faith to believe in a heaven to come? Is your faith real? It is the opposite. To live a life of faith is the opposite of being governed by our senses and regulated by the visible object. For we are told in Scripture, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 1:11. But if we have this faith, and then we will be able, with expectation, look forward to the coming of the new heaven and the new earth. Brethren, I trust that the Lord has spoken to your heart as you journey on as pilgrim in this sin-cursed world. Take heart, both young and old, that God can use you much, even though you may be weak, old, stricken in years. And for the younger ones, you may feel that perhaps you are not adequate. You have not enough experience, perhaps. But do not worry. If you put your life in the hand of God, in the hands of the Lord Jesus, surrender, submit, and to subject your whole being, your will, your life, and your all to Him, He is able to use you for His glory. Let us endeavor to serve the Lord humbly, and when our task on earth is done, let us encourage others to come forward to serve the King of Kings. Let us be persuaded that the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, will see to the fulfillment of His promise in your life for His glory, for those of us who are in Christ. But if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, this is not for you. First of all, may I beseech you and plead with you,
that you come to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Then you will understand this spiritual truth, and then you will have the comfort, the help, and the assurance to press on in your life despite the various challenges and difficulties and affliction that comes your way. May the Lord help us.